Before I get started with my message, and I know you kind of noticed there's something up here on stage. This is going to be an object lesson to go with it. I want to encourage you about what we're seeing in the news. Anybody been paying attention to the news? There's a lot of craziness going on right now, right? There's a lot of talk about Iran and about what happened with the killing of one of these leaders from Iran, Soleimani. And I want to remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars. This is going to happen. But here's the thing, that you and I are not like everybody else. People out there are freaking out because they think this is it, World War III, life's over. You know, people are saying that the environment, the war, everything is just ending. But for those of us that are in Jesus, like Elder Jerry said, we know the end of the book. We know that Jesus wins and that we win with him. And so no matter what happens, you know, as long as we're in Jesus, we're taken care of. And let me tell you something. God is not done with this world just yet. There's a lot of people that are going to come into the kingdom. And he may even use all these current events to bring the people into the kingdom. You know, as people are searching for peace, they're trying to deal with their anxiety, God is going to bring them in. So I want to share a scripture that I just read this week in Daniel chapter 2. Verses 20 through 22. And this is Daniel praising God. Remember, he's in the captivity. Things aren't necessarily like peachy. But he's seeking, you know, the Lord. And he was just a young man. He had come into contact with King Nebuchadnezzar. He's made him a leader in his government. And look at what Daniel says in chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. He said, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power." And look at this next verse. Check this out. You got to pay attention to this. He controls the course of world events. I think I need to say that to you again. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and he sets up other kings. Come on, let's stop fretting about who is, you know, president and king of what. Because God appointed them for a reason. He allowed them to happen for a reason. Amen. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. And look at this. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. A lot of people are searching for truth. We hear about fake news, but God, you know, knows it all. He knows what's really going on. And let's just hang ourselves on that beginning of verse 21. He controls the course of human events. Amen. So just pray, yes, pray for our government, pray for our troops, pray for our president and all decisions that must be made. Pray for Israel, pray for Iran, pray for all these countries that are involved. But ultimately, we need to pray trusting that he controls all, you know, the course of world events. Amen? All right, so the notes are in the YouVersion app or Bible app if you want to follow along. If you go under events, you'll see the short outline of what we're sharing today. But anyway, today we're beginning a short series that we're going to carry through the month of January, and I'm calling it Focused Series. If you can show that, the title slide. And today's message is called Making Space. And the reason why I had this particular image is because sometimes you got to get away from things to make a little bit of space, right? You got to make space in your life to really hear God. We want to start the year focusing on what God has and the plan for our lives. And so, like I said, there will be an object lesson to go with it because I want you to visually see what it means to focus our attention and our efforts as we begin this year, 2020. In order for you to focus, let me just say, you have to make space. You have to make space. In the society that we live in today, things are just like, you know, being thrown at you in a million directions as fast as they can. Everybody wants your attention so they can sell you something, right? And sometimes you just need to, like, push it away and make space. Amen? You have to make room to get away from the hustle and bustle. So, well, God, let me tell you, is always at work. While you were enjoying Christmas, God didn't stop working. All right? He's got plans. However, as we turn the page into 2020, he does use seasons in the turning of the calendar year to start new things. God works in seasons and he works in years. years have meanings, and He has purposes set aside for every year. And 2020 is no different. God is going to do something great. So we begin with the scripture in Revelation 21:5. We're going to start with the end in mind. We're going to go all the way to the end of the book. And it says, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making what? Everything new.'" Amen. Hallelujah. God is saying at the beginning of the year, "I am doing new things in you. I'm doing new things in your family, at Shiloh, in the world. You just need to hang on and let me do it." For some of you that are saying, "I need a fresh start," this is your chance. God is saying, "I'm giving you a chance to start things afresh." It gives an opportunity to examine what needs to stop and what needs to start. I don't know what you're going through, but if you allow Him, He will make all things new. This is the time to focus. Everybody say focus. It is a time to give Him the first fruits of the year. Remember we talked about first fruits quite a bit when we talked about, you know, the blessed life, the principle of the first fruits, the principle of the firstborn. We're giving Him the first part of the year because we want Him to guide us and to bless us through the rest of the year. We don't want Him to bless our plans. We want to be in His plan. God is speaking all the time. God is working all the time. The problem is that we're not listening all the time. Why? Because we have so many things going, you know, our way, and we need to make space so we can hear Him clearly. Because He's definitely speaking. So today I want to help you maximize the newness of the season. That's what I want to do today. I want you to maximize the newness of the season. The mechanism, and I would say there's two mechanisms, there's spiritually speaking that God uses primarily is fasting. Fasting is one of the most key ways in the scripture to make space. Right? But the other way I would say is to go in the foundations course. It's like, I'm just going to begin the year, I'm going to get away. And think about it, the foundations course has a retreat that goes with it where we get away, we make space, we put space between us and the routines, and we get aside, take some time aside from it all to hear God and to learn from God and to be healed of things, for things to be removed, to make space within us. Amen? God wants us to be emptied. Even of the good things, even of the, you know, sometimes we can't get the new stuff in because we're holding on to the old stuff. Yes, I need you to be emptied. Amen? So what we're saying, we start reading from Revelation 21, looking at the very end of the book, and think about it, we're beginning with the end in mind. So as you think of 2020, you have to think about the end. Even though you don't control things, but you got to think, where do you want to be spiritually at the end of the year? That needs to propel you at the beginning stages of this year. Where do you see your marriage going? Where do you see your professional life going? Where do you see your health going? Your relationships? Who do you want to see saved? What are your dreams that you want to see come to fruition in 2020? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8 says, "Finishing is better than starting, and patience is better than pride." But I'm going to focus on that first part. Finishing is better than starting. Another translation says, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning." We have to think about December 2020, even as we start January 2020. Amen? Because I don't want to be in the same place I am today. And I certainly don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward in the things of God. I want us to grow an influence in this community. Amen? There's a lot of people that were added along the way that you weren't here a year ago. And it's because some people said, "Hey, let's see God and see what God can do through Shiloh in 2019. But now, there's others that need to be added. Amen. Other people that need to be added to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So you need to see this year of your life as a seed. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And it's about the intensity that you put in there. If you go lightly, you just go haphazardly, that's what you're going to reap. But if you go all out with God, and that means different things, you're going to reap, you know, a great harvest at the end of the year. And let me just tell you, all of you have a spirit, a soul, and a body. A spirit, a soul, and a body. And the soul, you could say, is your mind, will, and emotions. Okay? But it needs to also be looked at in that order. First the spirit, then the soul, and then the body as we look into 2020. This is the order of presence. You have to sow first into the spirit, then your soul, and finally the body. And if I may say it this way, if you sow correctly into the spirit, the soul and the body take care of themselves. Because that's the way that God ordained it. We got to have priorities. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 52. This is talking about the three, you know, parts of Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. But when did this happen? It's when they found him at the temple talking to the leaders, the religious leaders, and said the questions and the comments that he would make were astounding him. And then when the parents, who had lost him for about 3 days, Jesus, where you been? He was only 12. You know, I'm just here. I'm about my Father's business. And when you make your life about the Father's business, when you first sow in the Spirit, then you begin to grow, you know, in all the areas. If you talk about health, you know, emotional health, you're talking about like good, strong relationships, favor with God and men, as it says in there. So point number one for today is to have the best year of your life, you need to focus on having the best spiritual year of your life. It's a long point, but I have to say that long. To have the best year of your life, you have to focus on having the best spiritual year of your life. Many people are hoping for a different end. The best year of life for a believer is not when you made the most money. It's not when you're the fittest. You get the best job. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. They're not bad in themselves. But it's if that's how you define your best year, then you're not putting things in the right order. Amen? Because I don't know why I'm saying this, but John the Baptist, his best year was when he proclaimed Jesus was coming. You know, he baptized Jesus, he led the way, he paved the way, he said, people repent. Months later, he was being decapitated. Would you say that was not a good year for him? Jesus said, he is the greatest person born of a woman. So you need to know how you define your success, how you define your year. The best year of your life is when you focus on having the most spiritual year of your life. We're talking about focus. So it can't be physical, financial, or just relationships, but you need to focus on spiritual aspects that govern all of that. Nothing wrong with taking care of the temple. You need to take care of your temple. Right? I take care of my temple. And no many of you do. That's good. But if you don't focus on the spiritual, you will not address who you truly are. Who you truly are and who God's called you to be. Your spiritual first and foremost. You're a spirit being with a soul inside of a body. This is just the shell. We take care of a temple so that we can fulfill what God's called us to do. And like I said, if you take care of the spirit, it begins to come out in different ways. It manifests itself in our mental health, in our physical health. Amen? There's balance in our life, but it starts with the spirit. John 6:63 says, the spirit alone gives eternal life. What gives eternal life? The Spirit, right? Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words that have spoken to you are spirit and life. If you get the spirit life right, everything else will fall into order. I mean, just look at the extremes. Look at celebrities. The ones that have the best bodies, are they having the best lives? If it was just for having the best body, you wouldn't see all these Instagram celebrities killing themselves. Or all these people with all the money, you know, like Howard Hughes, you know, just full of anxiety and stress and died with needles alone, naked, afraid of germs. He had all the money of the world, all the fame, all the women. So obviously that doesn't define, you know, success doesn't define where we want to go, right? There's an order of things. Matthew 6:33, you all know this verse. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, or send the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, says another version. And he will give you everything you need, or all things will be added, says the other version. Right? All of us have seasons where we struggle to perceive his perfect will. That's why we need to reset. Everybody say reset. Everybody say detox. We all need to detox as well. We need to reset and we need to detox. And that's what we need to do at the beginning of the year. There's a purification process. Right? Right, Sharon? We need to detox. We need to detox the body, right? But we also need to detox our mind and our spirit. We need to put our life in order at the beginning of the year in order to start the year in right. And we're not just talking about sin when we talk about purification. We're talking about putting things into perspective and bringing them to the right priority and to the right order of things. We're talking about the things that take up space. You know, because today we're talking about making space. And so this vessel right here, it represents your life. And these larger rocks represent the things that needs to be most important in your life. All these little pebbles here represent all the other stuff that we fill our lives with. The problem is we begin the year after an amazing holiday season, and we say, okay, well, let me just begin to... I'm going to go to the foundation scores, and I'm going to try to read more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to read more books. Next thing you know, you can't balance it all because you haven't made space. Right? You haven't made space. So everything needs to go in a certain order. And I want to tell you, all these are important things. And I'm not saying that these are necessarily sinful things, but the big rock is the one that needs to go in first, and that's your relationship with Christ. The Bible calls them the rock of ages. The Bible calls them, you know, the cornerstone. You know, everything needs to be hinged on this. This needs to be at the bottom of it all. It can't be on top. It can't be just something that you lay. You can't just say, I'm going to church more. I'm just going to be a little more religious and stuff like that. No. It's not going to work. It's not going to fit. It's not going to work out if you just kind of lay him on top of everything else you're already doing. Wow. Amen. Are you seeing this? So you can't just add things. We have little things and we have big things. The big things are those things in which must take precedence in our lives. The things that we must give most attention to. And it can be dreams, callings, giftings, relationships. The problem is we're just adding things. So that's why a lot of resolutions don't work. It's like, you don't want to give up anything. You just want to add on top and fill your life with, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to will it into being. I'm going to try, you know, hardest, you know, and it lasts a few days, a few weeks, you know. But what we want is what to become a lifestyle. And so we have to make space. Because we overwhelm ourselves by just adding stuff. You know, if I only work longer, if I only exercise more, if I only... do this or that a little more. You need to detox. You need to reset for your life to get fuller. And just think about smartphones for a second. You know, the statistics say that, you know, 80% of the people, I don't know how accurate this is anymore, the first thing that they do when they wake up is reach for their smartphone. How many have a smartphone here? All right, so 80% of you, come on. Some of you wake up in the middle of the night just to check it, because it was a little buzzing sound, and you couldn't wait to see what it was. Now, of course, your Bible's in there too. I understand that. So you're reaching over to put in some worship and to, you know, to read the scriptures, right? 1 hour after waking up, that becomes 90%. So if you fill your life with stuff already, and then you say, oh, yeah, I forgot to read. Oh, yeah, I forgot to pray. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, you're just adding stuff on top of all this stuff that already filled your mind. Second Timothy 2:21 says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. For every good work. So you got to be willing to be cleansed, to be purified. Amen? So we need to detox or fast from or set aside time, reorganize our priorities, and some things need to just drop off the table. They just need to come off. Things that we've been investing in that have just been eating away our life, eating away our time. Are we tracking? So on the 12th, we're going to start a period of 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I'm going to empty myself of things. I'm going to, things that are, like I said, necessarily simple, but, you know, even though it might be a sin. I remember my dad said when he used to do the Lent period when he was in the Catholic Church, he says that, You see all these people, I'm going to give up, you know, smoking for Lent. That was their fast. But as soon as like the 40th day hit, it was like, she was like, you know, I don't think that's what we're shooting for here. You know, but like I said, it's not just about sins. We're talking about, you know, some things that are just eaten away that we may need to just leave off the table altogether when it's all said and done. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Now, James was a tough dude. So watch what he says. Wash your hands, you sinners. Come on, Holly. You like to be called that every once in a while? Hey, you sinner. It says, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You're divided. We need to make space for God. If you're like most, like I said, you check your phone, or maybe you turn on the news, or you read the newspaper, instead of you starting your day right. We talk about first fruits. And I know I don't want to make it legalistic, but I do believe that we should begin the day with devotions. Like, oh, I'm a night person. I understand that. I just think, personally, if you begin the day right, it will end right. Because if you don't, you get behind the power curve really quickly. How many become reactionary? You haven't had your coffee, just rough days. Somebody hits you at work, and you're like, ah! You blow up at them, and you're like, what happened? So you're walking right into the flesh. But if you began the day praying and seeking God and saying, Lord God, you know, guide me. I know things are going to come my way, and I just want to be ready to respond. And when that first bit of bad news hits, and you're like, Lord, bless you. You know, bless your heart. Bless your heart. We've talked about that before, haven't we? So, check out Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. And we've read the scripture many times. It's the one about eagles. But this is a people that live by the Spirit versus living by the flesh. It says, even youths. And if I just may put a parenthesis there, when it talks about youth, it's not talking necessarily young people, even though often it is manifested in young people just because of the sake of being novices in life. But it's talking about the people that are spiritual immature. Or carnal, the carnal believer. Even the spiritual mature or the carnal will become weak and tired, and these people will fall in exhaustion. Right? But it says, but those who trust in the Lord, who had focused on the spiritual, who have made space for God, it says, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. They're not going to stop those resolutions. Why? Because those resolutions were set in God. God appointed those resolutions. It was something that we just dreamt up because everybody else is doing, because it's a fad. Because we care so much about what people think of us. When we say, I care more about what God thinks of me. Before you sprint into 2020, you need to focus on God and wait on God. Then you will know how to walk and how to run. And you will not grow tired. You need to know what God's focus is for your life in 2020. Which brings me to point number two. Make space for God to speak. Make space for God to speak. Amen? So we need to make space. All right? We're gonna prioritize. We're going to do things in the right way. So I'm just going to use this other container and say, it fit yesterday, so hopefully it fits today. You know, it's like they said that the world is ever expanding, so apparently it's happening. I'm going to make a mess here, Tamara, so excuse me. All right, we're good. We'll just leave it there like that. We need to make space. We need to make space for God to speak and to give His order. He speaks to us through His Word. Yes, through the Spirit. He speaks to us through people. The problem is that often we're too busy to hear God. Fasting, if you think about it, should really be called slowing. You need to not go faster, you need to slow down. We need to create margin. When we don't have margin, we hurt ourselves and we hurt the people around us. That's why I want to go to full-time ministry, Pastor. Because right now, I feel like I don't have much margin. I go from work to home to ministry, back to home, and it's like sometimes I don't feel like I have enough time with my kids and my wife. But I want to make sure that I focus on you guys, give you the time that you guys deserve, you know, as the people of Shiloh. So I'm willing to live out by faith and let God order my life. I'm having to empty myself, you know, for the sake of the body, like it says in John 17. And yes, first of all, it is about denial of food when we talk about fasting. It's true. And the prayer and fasting, guys, like I said, give us some ideas how to do it. But there are other ways to do it. You can abstain from social media, which nowadays is like a huge thing. Well, I was just talking to a pastor. She hasn't touched social media for over a year. She says, every time I looked at social media, I came away feeling empty and like negative and just brought down. It wasn't uplifting me at all. And the Bible does instruct us to focus on all the things that are noble and worthy of praise, worthy, you know, that bring good character, you know, that uplift us. And if not, maybe we should let them drop off. And so this particular passage said, I'm not going to look at social media. Now, the husband's still doing it, but she decided not to. And, you know, so that's between her and God. God put it in her heart. So we have to create space by denying a certain appetite or a hobby that you may have. And you replace the time that you would normally eat or that you devote to these things to prayer and reading the Word, or reading the Word and prayer and seeking God so you can hear His voice. And it's not about condemnation. We're not trying to do it legalistically. We don't want the letter of the law when we talk about fasting. We talk about the spirit of the law. And let me tell you, everybody here, very likely, because people say, Pastor, how do you want us to fast? And every person needs to fast a little bit different. Because everybody here, you already know what you need to fast. It's not like the Holy Spirit hasn't been pinging you all year long and saying, there's this area of your life that seems to take up a lot of your time, and I'm trying to work with you. You know, for you, it may very well be food. You may be addicted to food. You know, there's the Daniel fast, you know, choice foods and sweets and stuff like that. Or for me, I love my coffee. You know, the coffee ministry, you know, is going to have some coffee left over the next 25 days because, you know, some of us need to cut back on the caffeine. And not just coffee, you know, the sodas, everything that has caffeine in it. Even teas, some teas have caffeine. So you got to be careful. Yeah, but all of us know what that is. It could be certain relationships that are toxic. Come on. Of course, addictions and bondage and all those things. It's not about getting rid of something. It's about making space to hear. We have to lean into the Spirit. Because fasting without prayer is just dieting. Let me say that again. Fasting without prayer is just dieting. But think about it. Every yes in our lives requires a no. Sometimes it's automatic. When you say yes to something, you say no to something. You have to say no to your flesh. Like I said, I decided to say yes to full-time ministry. I had to say no, you know, to secular and the comfort of having, you know, the bivocational lifestyle. But God said, I'm doing this. It's not just I decided to do it. No, the Holy Spirit put it in my heart. And I'm being obedient and knowing that He's going to take care of me. But the things that are ahead of me, the things that I'm saying yes to, so far away the things that I'm saying no to. And that's the way it should be. Oh, to say yes to God and making space for Him. You know, just sow away the things that you put aside. And yes, the coffee is never going to seem more desirable than in that season. You know, whatever that is that you're giving up is never going to seem as desirable. You know, whether it's watching movies or social media or whatever it is, you know, you give it to God. I will probably do a combination, just so you guys know. I'll probably do I'll give up like caffeine. I know I'm not supposed to share this, but for the sake of the flock, you know, and I'll every week I'll skip a day, you know, meals or something like that, and then as the Lord leads me, I will add other things. But the idea is that I want to focus on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me get to point number three, because we got to get going. We don't fast to get God's attention. We fast to give God our attention. We don't fast to get God's attention. We fast to give God our attention. And there's different reasons to fast. We definitely need it. Esther fasted to save a nation. Jesus fasted before he started ministry. And let me tell you, it's not because Esther willed it. God already wanted to save the nation. She just had to line up with what God was doing. Come on. And she said, everybody pass with me for this 3 days before I go see the king. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, are you stuck? Are you stuck in your Christian walk? Do you need deliverance from bondage or addictions? Maybe you're a new believer. Maybe you have a dream that you don't know how to bring about. You need to fast. You need to fast. God desires for you to be set free. There are things that you try but didn't work, but when you give him your full attention, he's going to break things holding you back. He's going to begin to download things that you need for the journey along the way. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew the strength in God, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not grow faint. Come on. Hallelujah. So we're going to put Jesus in here, right? You know, I'm going to put the cornerstone, the rock of ages. My relationship with him is going to be number one, right? Hallelujah. Because that is the most important thing. That's, you know, it's not my ministry that's number one. And by the way, the next big rock is not ministry either. Come on. Some people make their walk their ministry. It's not. Your relationship with Jesus, it manifests itself in ministry, once again, if you put the important things. But the next thing that you want to put in there is very likely it should be you taking care of you. You know, you need to, you know, that's why you read. That's why you fast. That's why you pray. That's why you seek the Lord. You do the different things that take care of you. The Bible says that we love others as we love ourselves. So you got to take care of yourself. And then guess what? It's not my ministry yet. No, I got to take care of my marriage, right? I got to take care of my marriage. My marriage is first. That's my first ministry, by the way. And then, of course, I got to take care of my children, right? And then, you know, hey, maybe way down my professional life. I got to make sure that I do it right. I got to, you know, read, and I got to, obviously, my children and family and relationships are all in there. Those are the big rocks in my life, okay? I know I like football. I like to talk about it, but that's over here, okay? People in prior ages didn't know about the NFL, and they still went to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They didn't need the NFL to go to heaven. They didn't need, you know, FIFA. You know, I like soccer and all this stuff. That's just something good to do, you know. But it's got to take its proper place. Amen. I got to put everything in the right order. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can start pouring these things in. If you do it right, you know, with the priorities in mind, even though a lot of it's going to go onto the floor, you know, it should fit. Hopefully, please let it fit so I can show this right, you know. Come on. Come on. I got to shake it a little bit. Press down and shake it to go there. That's what it says, the scripture says. Otherwise, it runneth over. You know? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Woo! Come on. Besides, the Steelers and the Cowboys lost anyway, so that's... It all fits if you do it right. So we slow down in January to hear clearly from him. You know, and like I said, some of you haven't even put that first rock yet. You don't even have a relationship with Jesus. This is not going to work out for you. To have the best year of your life, you need to have the best spiritual year of your life. And it begins with a relationship with Jesus. When you put in the priorities in the proper order, everything just makes sense. And it is enjoyable. Come on. God didn't call us to a whole bunch of no's. He wants to give us the yeses. He's the yes and amen. He's the God of promises. But everything in its proper time and place. Think about the proper order of things in the Garden of Eden. There was a ton of trees of fruits and vegetables that said, you can have it all. Just eat it all. There's only one thing you have to say no to. That was the one limitation they had. All of this you can have. That's the kind of life that God wants us to have. Why? And in there was one tree. It was called the tree of life. The tree of life. That's Jesus. Amen. He was hung on a tree for you and I. And we need to put him at the center. and we need to eat from him every day. You know, the reason why Adam and Eve had to be kicked out of the garden is because if they continued to eat after having sinned out of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. Like I said, I can't have you be doing that, because the wages of sin is death. So as we begin 2020, I'm inviting you to walk this out together. You know, we can have little pockets of revival if people do this on their own, but I'm telling you, if we do it corporately, just imagine what we're going to see, the kind of harvest. We're looking for a revival among us, you know, among the community, people getting saved left and right, the gospel penetrating, you know, government offices and the military, and people getting healed of diseases and getting healed. You know, where I was thinking about the homelessness that is in America right now. You go to San Francisco, all over the West Coast, Seattle, you know, and you see people just homeless, just tent cities all over these large cities. And a lot of those people are on drugs and they talk to themselves and they're just lost. And people don't know what to do with them. People just out of sight of mind, just give them stuff, give them food, give them drugs. You know, that place in San Francisco, they're like, all right, here's some needles, here's some drugs. There's a room over there. Go drug yourself safely. And people are dying. Why? Because people don't know how to solve those problems. But I believe that the body of Christ in Jesus has a solution to every societal problem that is prevailing in this society. But we need to come together. Jesus did say to his disciples after they couldn't cast out a demon, he said, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. There's some that happens. We devote ourselves wholly to God. There's a downloading of the anointing of the power of God so we can begin to feed people right where they're at. So I'm asking you to walk this out with me and to give January to the Lord as we begin next Sunday. And say, you know, for those 21 days, I'm going to go all out for God and let Him order my life. And I'm going to make space for God to move in Sierra Vista. Hallelujah. I finish with Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man or a good woman, if I can say it this way, are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. The steps of a good man, when you say, God, I want you to order my life, I'm making space for you. Don't just add religion on top of all these good things. And for some of you, one of these rocks may be just coming to church every Sunday. Some of us think it's optional because we got all this little stuff that's filling our lives. We've made this our priority, all these little things. We got to say, hey, I want to be down here sustaining it all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, do not give up meeting together as some do. It says, but spur one another to love and good works. So for you, it might just be that. And for some of you, even take it further, you need to give your life to Jesus. Let's all stand as we close here.